Well, good morning, Grace people. So good to be with you today. It's an exciting day. It is kickoff Sunday. Yeah. And that means a lot to us here at Community of Grace, because this is really when we kick off our programming year. Children's ministry starts, student ministry starts, all these new things. And it reminds me that this always coincides with the start of the school year. Some guys have been in school a little bit longer. Some are maybe just getting ready to go back to school. But that new, fresh experience of going back to school and starting into a new school year brings all kinds of new experiences, right? Some people are going to get a new teacher. Some people might have some particularly new classes. They may get some new books. They may get some new pens and pencils or folders or notebooks. All those things that are new that you get to experience fresh and anew in a new school year. But there's also something else that comes along with a new school year, and that's review. You remember review, right? Where you'd go back to class in those first couple of days, maybe in the English class, or for me, certainly in any mathematics class I ever took in my life, there was a sense of like, hey, you've probably forgotten some of these things that we talked about last year, so let's do some review and kind of get you caught up. And some people will be like, I really don't need the review, but that's great. I'll be here anyway. Others are like, oh, please bring the review so that I can get caught up. But that's a part of that new school year experience. Well, it's similar for us here at Community of Grace. We need to review some things so that we can all move forward together in unity. And for us, at the top of the list in doing that is our missional narrative. But before I dive into our missional narrative and remind you of that, some of you are like, what is that? Others are like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I want to make sure that you've all got the textbook in your hands. Our textbook is the Bible. And if you need a Bible and don't have one this morning or would like one to follow along with, please just raise your hand. We got some ushers back there. We've got a supply of Bibles that you can have and that you can use. You can use them this morning. Or if you don't have a Bible, you have one now. You get to take that Bible home with you as a gift from us here at Community of Grace. We really want people to have the Bible in their hands. So if you've got a Bible on your app or if you've got it in your own that you brought along, that's great. We'll be using them quite a bit today. So let's hear our missional narrative again. Community of Grace embraces the undeniable truth that God loves and values all people, no exceptions. This truth is manifested clearly in the person of Jesus, who modeled unconditional, boundless love. There are no outsiders to Jesus' love, no us versus them, only people God seeks to invite into his family. This is grace. This is our holy calling, to follow Jesus as a community of his grace and to help others know Jesus through us. That's it, friends. It's a lot of words. That's why we don't expect you to memorize it. Next week, for sure, we're going to have some copies of our missional narrative that'll be out at the front desk that you can just pick up and keep with you, maybe tuck it into your Bible. It's a good thing for us to be reminded of. It's really a story more than it is just a statement. It's a story of our journey with Jesus and what Jesus means to us. There's a lot of Jesus in that statement. That's good, because we focus a lot on Jesus here at Community of Grace. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is the final word from God. He is the ultimate and perfect revelation of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. So good to be following Jesus and to try and live out this mission that he has given us to. Now, in order to live out this mission, we have a number of values, core values, that hold us accountable to this mission. There are inward values, which we call discipleship values, and then there are outward values, which we call missional values. And both of them help form us into the people Jesus wants us to be for the sake of his mission and as a sign of his love towards us. So those inward values, you may have heard them before, again, but some of you might be hearing them for the first time. That's awesome. Here they are. Our inward values sound like this. We want to know Jesus. We want to trust Jesus. We want to imitate Jesus. And we want to speak Jesus. All formational values, ways in which we are formed and shaped into the likeness of Jesus as his disciples. And then the outward values, like I said, we call missional values. And those sound like this. We will see people the way Jesus sees people. We will love people the way Jesus loves people. We will serve people the way Jesus serves people, and we will teach people the way Jesus teaches people. Now, if you're familiar with these values, that's awesome. That means that you can help others learn them and get to know them more. Maybe you've heard them, but you're still just starting to learn these values. That is wonderful. You're in the right place. You're right where you belong. And if these values are completely new to you, that is awesome, because it probably means this is one of your first times coming to Community of Grace. And maybe you're just getting started on your journey of following Jesus. Oh, praise God. We're so glad you're here. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to get to know you by name. By the way, if you don't know my name's Darren. I'm the senior pastor here at Community of Grace. I know I'm Darren because I've got a name tag. It says right there. A lot of you have name tags on, too, that you picked up. It's a great way to get to know one another and avoid any embarrassment when you go up to talk to them. It's nothing wrong with looking right over here and be like, oh, that's your name. Sorry I've forgotten it, but now I know it. And you get a chance to meet somebody that way if you're new. It's really, really wonderful. We're so glad that you are here and learning and being a part of this. All of us together are Community of Grace Lutheran Church, but we are also a community of disciples on a mission of grace. So you hear all of it there, don't you? Community, grace, disciple, mission. They're all a part of that. Community of disciples on a mission of grace. You're going to be hearing about all of this over the course of this week and next week. But let me say something about the relationship between being a disciple of Jesus and being on mission for Jesus. You can't have one without the other. They're absolutely interdependent and dependent on one another. You can't be a disciple of Jesus without being on mission. And you can't be on mission for Jesus without being a disciple. I can't oversell that to you because it's so true. They go hand in hand. Disciples are people who are being shaped by Jesus, but as you're shaped by Jesus, you're going to start doing the things that Jesus does, right? Like imitating him, praying like he did, all of those features that are part of who he is. Those are actions. Those are expressions of who Jesus is, not only to those around you, but to those out in the world, to those who need to know Jesus. So you can't be a disciple unless you go on mission, because that's what Jesus commands us to do. But you also can't be on mission for Jesus unless you are a disciple of Jesus. And I want to clarify this one a little bit too. There are a lot of organizations that are good at helping people, and I'm so grateful for them. Many different social service organizations, many different organizations who specialize in helping people with particular needs. They're wonderful. That's great. God bless them. They're not the church. The church, as a mission of Jesus, requires disciples of Jesus. It's a particular kind of mission, and it can include all of those wonderful things that we do and share with the world around us, but they're motivated entirely from that place of being a follower of Jesus, not just to make ourselves look good or feel good. So they're tied together. And I'm mindful of this and the need to express both sides of this equation because of something that we have all recently experienced in our broader community. Of course, many of you are aware of the recent school shooting at Annunciation Catholic Church in downtown Minneapolis. Horrific, absolutely horrifying. And we have members of our school community who actually have deep connections with that church and with that school. So it means a lot. It's a direct place for us, and it felt so horrifying to all of us to be experiencing it that day. But in response to that, some people have responded by saying that, you know what, we should forget about prayer and just move to action. And that's not right, not for the people of God, not for followers of Jesus. We know that nothing gets done without prayer. Prayer is that starting place for us as followers of Jesus. It's a starting place, but it's not the ending place. You see, we also shouldn't pray and then do nothing. That's also not okay. We should not pray without acting, and we should not act without praying. They go together, just like that discipleship and mission go together. And I heard something this past week that reminded me of this so clearly. It's an African proverb. It says this: when you pray, move your feet. When you pray, move your feet. I love that because it's not dismissive of either. It encompasses both. We must pray as followers of Jesus. We rely entirely on Him to get things done that we can't possibly get done. And as we pray, we move our feet to take us in motion and in mission somewhere that He's calling us to bring His presence, to bring His love, His forgiveness, His comfort, all the things that the world needs so desperately. So when you pray, move your feet. There's one passage of Scripture that I think captures the unity of these two facets of life in Jesus, discipleship and mission. And it's a passage that may sound very familiar to some of you. Maybe some of you are hearing it for the first time. It's in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. It's on page 1422 in the Bibles that we provide for you. If you're paging open to that one, that's great. Otherwise, it's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Just follow along as I read it. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the very essence of being a community of disciples on a mission of grace. It's all right there. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, the ones that he had been with for 3 years, nurturing, shaping, helping them become followers of his. And now as he is getting ready to end his earthly ministry, Jesus is now telling them, "You are disciples, now go make more disciples. Be disciples and go help others become disciples." What a beautiful thing this is. It's part of what we call the Great Commission. But it speaks to something else that's important for us to understand too. Discipleship is a journey, it's not a destination. We never stop becoming disciples of Jesus. We can say that we are disciples of Jesus. I hope so. That's great. But it doesn't mean we're finished. It doesn't mean we've completed our journey of discipleship. It's not a checklist that we get to the bottom of and go, "Awesome, cool, I know him, I trust him, I'm imitating him, I speak him, cool, done." Not at all. It's a journey and a process that we keep coming back to again and again and again. Because it's a journey, not a destination. So we pray, and we move our feet to move forward on this journey. Now, this morning, I want us to take a particular look at these discipleship values, these spiritual formation values, and how they guide our journey at CGLC in becoming disciples of Jesus. It starts with knowing Jesus, right? First one, to know Jesus. But when we say the word "know" in front of Jesus, it can take on a lot of different meanings in our minds. You know, I can say that I know someone and not really have any kind of a personal relationship with them. For example, I know Taylor Swift. If she were to walk in this room, I would look over and be like, "Oh yeah, that's Taylor Swift. I recognize her. I know who she is." I have absolutely no personal relationship with Taylor Swift. Okay? I can't say I know her personally. Forget about the rumors. I do not know Taylor Swift personally. So they're very different things to say that you know about someone or you could recognize them versus actually knowing and having a relationship with them. It's beyond just facts. This is a relational knowing. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in Philippians 3, verse 10. I want you to hear the way he describes it. He says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he talked about knowing Jesus. knowing him all the way into his sufferings. It's like, wow, you have to know somebody in their sufferings? Well, if you really love them. Those of you who have ever seen somebody close and near and dear to you suffer, you enter into that place with them, don't you? You try to come near them out of your love for them, to be right there in the midst of that suffering. That's a deeply personal thing and a deeply personal relationship. Now, it's okay to just start learning about Jesus in this journey of knowing, by the way. Part of formation is information. We get some information about Jesus. We can open up the Bible. We can read some words. We can hear from some other people. We can get some good teaching. That's wonderful. It just doesn't end there. Information is a part of formation, but so is transformation. That happens the more and more you get to know Jesus. There can also be some reformation that happens when we realize that, you know what? I may have had some wrong ideas about who Jesus is. I may not know him the way I thought I did. So some things need to get redone in us, a reformation. Information, transformation, reformation, all parts of formation, spiritual formation as a disciple of Jesus. And it starts with that place of knowing Jesus. And then it moves to trusting Jesus. Now, trust is an interesting word. You can use the word trust almost equivalent without or within the Bible as faith or belief. To trust is to have faith or to have belief. Each one brings a little different nuance to it, but they're very, very similar. So after we find out some things about Jesus, maybe even get to know him a little bit more and discover who he is, well, then we're open to that place of faith, of crossing over in a way that we trust Jesus, not just for things that happen every day in our lives, but for our eternal lives. We trust in his forgiveness. We believe that he's actually the Son of God, that what he says is really true. That's trust. That's belief. And it doesn't happen just through an effort on your part. As a matter of fact, it has less to do with your effort than you think. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. To have faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew this, and Jesus taught this. He taught it in John 3, verses 5 through 8, as he was speaking to a wise leader in the Jewish community, Nicodemus, who was coming trying to find answers. And Jesus was answering, and he said this. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit." I think everybody in this room was born. Yes? Yep, good, cool. Everybody in this room was born. How much did you have to do with being born? Nothing. Correct answer. You had nothing to do with being born. There's an interesting parallel in being born of the Spirit and in being born again of the Spirit. The Spirit brings life. The Spirit brings new life. The Spirit brings rebirth. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Spirit gives birth to spirit. There's a spiritual rebirth that happens. From that place of rebirth comes trusting, believing, following Jesus. It's that stepping over to that place of faith. It comes as a gift to us. We open our hands to receive it. It's the beauty of trusting in Jesus. So we know Jesus, we trust Jesus, and then we start to imitate Jesus. We start to become like him in character and action. The way that Jesus lived is shared with us in Scripture, the kind of practices that he had on a daily basis or throughout the course of his days and weeks and life. Jesus worshiped regularly. Jesus prayed regularly. Jesus fasted regularly. There are many spiritual practices that have been handed down throughout the generations that are right from Jesus. And so as we know Jesus and as we begin to trust him, we start to see these actions, and it's right for us to say, perhaps I should start to walk in those same ways. Not to prove something to Jesus, not to prove something to myself, but just out of a response to how good God is and how much Jesus loves us. If this is what Jesus is doing, if this is what he's inviting us to, then we step into that and we begin to imitate Jesus and the things that he said and did. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." There it is, following an example. Being like little children, walking and imitating and seeing what their parents do. Every one of us can attest to this, whether we remember it or not, at some point in our lives. We started seeing what our parents were doing. We just started naturally to start doing it ourselves. Maybe in our own way. But it's a reflection. It's a journey of imitating Jesus. And then last on this list is to speak Jesus. That's when our words reflect his love and his truth. The Bible has a term for this. It's called witnessing. To witness to who Jesus is. You've seen what Jesus has done. You've been imitating it and walking on that journey yourself. But now you start to speak to others about Jesus. That's witnessing. That's speaking Jesus. Colossians 3, 16 through 17 describes it this way. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Word and deed in the name of Jesus. It means when we speak, what people should hear is not just us speaking, but Jesus speaking through us. For their sake, for the sake of the world, for the sake of the way of Jesus. Well, that sounds simple enough. We should be able to accomplish that in a day, don't you think? Of course not. I said it before and I'll say it again. It's a journey, my friends. And it's a lifelong journey. It doesn't just happen overnight. And while it may sound like there's a sequence to these things, which certainly there can be, there's also things that are just kind of out of sequence. As we walk through our lives, we may be pretty good at doing some of the spiritual practices of Jesus, but yet we really have a hard time trusting him when times are difficult. Or maybe we have been walking this journey, we've been speaking in Jesus' name, but we didn't really know Jesus as to who he really is. And so now we're like, oh man, I got to change my thinking about Jesus. As we learn and as we grow, we can go back to each one of these realities and these values again and again and again as a part of our spiritual formation. We are always becoming disciples. But we don't do it all at once. And we don't do it alone. This is a community of disciples. We're the church. We need each other. And we rely on each other as well as relying on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working through his body. It's the Holy Spirit that came and started the church as Jesus promised he would. That same Holy Spirit sustains us and speaks to us and through us to one another. We need each other. Discipleship never happens in a vacuum. It's really, really difficult, if not impossible, to become a disciple of Jesus on your own. Because we have to be next to one another. We have to listen and learn from one another. And occasionally we have to irritate one another. And sometimes we have to fail one another. Because we will. We'll fail to live up to this standard. Every one of us has and will fail. That's why we need the community. And when we do, we rely on the Holy Spirit to convict us of those places where we have failed. That's what He promises to do, to convict us of sin. And then from that place of convicting us from sin, we first respond by agreeing with God that what it is that we did really was sin and really was wrong. That's called confession. So there's conviction and then there is confession. And from that place of conviction and confession, there is now a receiving of forgiveness and a turning back towards Jesus. That's called repentance. The turn back to Jesus. And it just isn't a one-time thing. It happens over and over and over again. It is all part of our journey as disciples and our journey in community together. We need one another on this journey, folks, in all those different ways. So let me ask you a question. Where might the Holy Spirit be shining a light on your discipleship journey this morning? Let me speak first to those of you who maybe have been on this journey for a while. But I want you to think. I want you to take a moment in the presence of God to say, well, what are you asking of me today? Is it in knowing you more? Is it in trusting you more? Is it in learning how to imitate you and follow along in your actions more? Is it learning to speak and witness to who you are more? What might it be? Just take time to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, to guide you on this direction. And then respond. Pray and move your feet. But let me speak to some others who may be here this morning. Perhaps you are just getting started on this journey. Or maybe even today you are feeling something in your heart that you just can't quite explain, but it's calling out to you to step into this kind of relationship with Jesus. Jesus invites people in this season into a new life. He does it all the time, but specifically, He might be doing that for you today in this moment. Don't ignore that voice. Listen to that voice today that is inviting you into a journey of a lifetime and an eternal lifetime in Jesus. And if that's you, I am so excited for you. You are welcome here, you are wanted here, and you belong here. And please don't ever look around at the people around you and be like, oh man, they've all got it all together and I'm just falling apart over here. It's not true. If you want anybody to bear witness to that, give me a call. I'll let you know, because I sure don't have it all together. I might just be a step or two ahead of you. And you know what? There are probably some days where I'm a step or two lagging behind you. That's why we need each other on this journey. So take a step. Pray and move your feet today as you move along in this journey of discipleship. And in particular, I want to invite you to receive something from Jesus that He wants to give to you tangibly today. It's something we call Holy Communion. It's a miraculous, mysterious thing, but Jesus spoke to it in bread and wine being His broken body, broken for our sins, and the wine being His shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It's a table that we come to. We come to it regularly as God's people because we need it and because He offers it to us freely. So bearing that in mind, let's pray and then let's come to His table. Would you please stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come to You today, we come with hearts of gratitude. We We come with hearts that sometimes are confused. We come from places of pain or disappointment or loss. We come from places of joy and celebration and victory. All of those places, Lord, are reflected in our lives and community here together today. Jesus, would you step into that place? Holy Spirit, would you come and convict our hearts? As your followers, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us to not be ashamed of being on a journey and of failing and falling, but be quick through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to turn back to you, to agree that we mess up and we screw up, and then to receive your forgiveness, and then to turn back to you, Jesus. And whether that's in knowing you or in trusting you or in imitating you or speaking you or some combination thereof, Lord, speak to us now. Holy Spirit, come and speak and reveal those things to us now in this very moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue speaking to us.